This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Gobble gobble or something like that. Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, happy Thanksgiving to all of you listening to this show and your families. Boy, it's been an interesting year and it is winding down as we're getting deeper into the holidays. Lots of people traveling. I was looking at some of the schedules, airline schedules, so busy in Orlando. It makes sense. I mean, the rush is back. Some of what the TSA is reporting, and I talked about this the other day, is that we're back to those pre-holiday periods before, you know, even 2019. So lots of people going to visit, maybe for the first time in, you know, in a while. I was looking at Tuesday numbers, over 2.3 million plus were screened in American airports, you know, way more than what we saw in 2019. So Sunday is going to be the 27th is going to be the biggest day since before the pandemic. Close to 500,000 passengers flying back from their celebrations. Denver, expect problems. Chicago, O'Hare, Houston, Newark, they're going to be the busiest. When I say problems, just pack your patience because it's going to take longer to get through lines. I mean, that's normal if they're going to have the most flights. And, you know, AAA is saying that 2022 will be the third busiest Thanksgiving travel year since 2000. So same thing, you know, between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. on Wednesday was the busiest. And that makes sense because people are taking half days or they finished work on Tuesday and then they're taking off for hopefully somebody's house that they're going to visit in their family or friends or whatever it is. However you celebrate Thanksgiving, it doesn't matter. I had one of my best Thanksgivings ever when I was on the air for NBC. And I went up to the studio and they had made us, you know, all kinds of trimmings and brought extra stuff. It was ridiculous. I mean, I could have gained 10 pounds just sitting there with all the stuff that they brought because there was even tacos on the side. And it was just really fun. There were, you know, engineers in the studio and it was, and this was in the last, you know, 5 years or so. So it doesn't matter how you celebrate, just that you get a chance to carve out some of that kind of memories or thinking about what you're grateful for. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot to be grateful for. As much as we look at some of the horrific things that have happened, there are many good things that are happening in the world too. So I would think stress for some of us, we could keep it down, but maybe not. I don't know. There is stress associated with the tail end of the year. But this new study that I keep seeing, everybody keeps sending me links to it. I don't know what that's about, but I keep getting these links. And this is some interesting findings from the University of Georgia. They did a survey that showed, in talking to so many different people that they culled together, that a little bit of stress actually is beneficial to your body and to your brain. Because when we're stressed, we're forced to deal with unpredictable or tense situations that can kind of rankle our bodies physically. That's how they described it. And while they're not fun in the moment, they push us out of the comfort zone and they can be a good thing for your mind. And in a way, that sort of makes sense. But I think you have to be careful with stress because we know heart attacks and strokes and everything else that come from that. And stress can just go way over the top. I think a little bit of stress, if you're talking about that, some, not the kind that's high level and detrimental to your health, because obviously there would be some bad outcomes there. And if you constantly feel super stressed out, then you need to change something. I mean, definitely. It's interesting to me in some of the things that we're learning about with the brain, right? With all the research that's happening and then looking at how moderate stress levels and what they're saying in this study that they did could actually help build resilience and reduce the risk of developing mental health disorders like depression and like antisocial behaviors. And that kind of makes sense because maybe that little bit of stress puts you in social situations. But it's just interesting. So a little bit of stress for whatever that's worth, because they weren't big numbers there, and I didn't even tell you any numbers. that is okay. But if you have a lot of stress, get out of that situation. Chinese drones flying over D.C., that would be a little stressful. That would cause some alarm. So there were people on the Hill who were briefed on hundreds of intrusions over the White House, Capitol, and Pentagon. So what do you think the concern there is when we're talking about drones? The concern is this is restricted airspace. And if we've seen this in the last couple of months, and these are supposedly recreational drones made by a Chinese company, DJI, they are designed with geofencing restrictions to keep them out of sensitive locations, but they're being manipulated by users with workarounds to fly over no-go zones around our capital. See how easy, boom, it is to get under the radar? And now we have drone experts that are saying they've delivered classified briefings to Homeland Security, Commerce and Intelligence Committees on this development, and they're keeping it close to the vest, but this is not good that we're seeing this happen, because what kind of espionage could that possibly be? Or are they going to just say this was some kind of, these were recreational drones? But this isn't that kind of drone, right? That's not what you're seeing. So, yes, we see that drones are out in commercial areas, and we see that people are using drones more. I feel like I see a drone every other day. I'll hear like a buzzing somewhere. It's not over my house, but when I'm bopping around, and could be some of the beach areas, could be some of that. But I always wonder, if that's a news crew trying to get an overhead shot for a weather shot, or somebody just having fun with it. You know, it's that yin and yang over what is happening with the drones, because of course they have that video capability. And so government and outside security experts, of course, are concerned about potential Chinese government ties to this drone maker of these drones, DJI, because, you know, they were, you think about when they were made back like in 2017, and this is a pretty big fleet, and we rely heavily on some of those drones. So is it safe? Is it not safe? I mean, look, California, Texas, when I started to look at this a little bit more, California, Texas, Illinois, Wisconsin, Florida, they have the greatest number of drones, which might explain why I'm hearing drones. The majority are this DJI model, right? If it's GPS navigation, we get it. But something's up here, and obviously there are reasons to brief on the drones, and there are reasons to be concerned about that, you know, I would say, looking at what I've seen. I'll tell you what, there's been these violent protests, speaking of China, at the iPhone plant in China. Just tons of workers, hundreds of workers were out and clashing with security that was set up. It's been boiling for about a month because of some of the restrictions that are there set in place to quash a COVID outbreak that they're having. But workers at this Foxconn Technology Group plant streamed out of the dorms in the early mornings on Wednesday. They got past the white-clad guards and outnumbered them. And there was videos all over the place. I was looking at some of the videos, and you know, people were screaming "fight, fight, fight," and there was baton waving and all that stuff. And this is again a COVID thing, so they're worried about COVID, and this violence has broken out there because of that. And employees are complaining about work subsidies, bonuses, or payments on top of usual wages. So that's what that is all about. All right, so stay with us. Much more coming your way on this special holiday show.
I had thought my bowel and related organs were working well enough. I use an herbal laxative and magnesium sulfate about once a week, but my bowels had a day when they went on vacation. After the second day of using Green Med Away, I discovered that I was in denial about my bowel functioning. I now have 2 to 3 easy, comfortable, and healthy bowel movements a day. The same is true for my children, ages 8, 13, and 15, all of which admitted to having significantly improved bowel function when asked.
On a Google keyword search, the words constipation, stool softener, and laxative combined are searched up to 3 million times per month. Constipation is a silent epidemic in America, and most people are either in denial or do not want to admit to it. Over the years, Green Meadow Way has helped several other people have their bowels move again in an optimal manner. For the feeling of a clean intestinal tract and flat abdomen, see if Green Meadow Way can help you. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Is driven by compassion, 8 values for successful servant leaders. Wow. Here's what I like. Successful servant leaders. Wait till we dive into this with David Zeckman. He is the author of this book. We had a great off-air conversation where we started talking in the very beginning about where he started and what his goal was, which was a really lofty goal to be a CEO. And, of course, he achieved that, but he started at the bedside right there from the very beginning in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, this isn't the healthcare industry. So, David, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Kate.
So finish that story for everybody, because I love this. You did have that goal about becoming the CEO, and you did achieve that. But I think the difference probably for you and why this book it was in you is because you started right from the very bottom, so to speak.
I did. Thank you. I'm very proud of that. It's a little bit of a unique situation. I started my career as a high school teacher and a coach in football and track, and I loved it, but decided that I want to do something different, and I answered an ad to get into healthcare as an on-the-job trainee respiratory therapist in Cleveland, Ohio, which is my hometown. And so I started at the bedside, and but as I was working, I enjoyed patient care, but I thought, you know, I had this pull, this yearning for leadership. I thought I could make a difference with a servant leadership style as I did as a teacher and coach, and decided that I set a goal that I wanted to be a CEO of a hospital. So I started working. My first management position was as a night shift supervisor in respiratory therapy, and I was a working supervisor and decided that in order for me to grow it, I'd have to leave Cleveland, my hometown, and moved to Kansas City and worked for a big, large healthcare system there for 10 years, and then to Louisville, and back to rural Missouri as my first time CEO, and then Northern Michigan when I worked for McLaren Healthcare. So I went from the bedside working nights with a loyal, dedicated group of nurses to be a CEO, and I never forgot that. It was something that I felt was always something to my advantage in my leadership, because I had a strong empathy for people that had to do the real work of healthcare, and that's healing patients.
Yeah, there you go, the real work of healthcare. So behind this book, what drove you to write the book?
Well, when I retired as a hospital CEO in January 19, I still had this, again, I had that pull again, like I did when I got in healthcare, and said, you know, what can I do to make a difference in terms of leadership? And I felt like I had unfinished work. So I decided that I would write a book. And I was encouraged to do that by friends and associates, and decided that it was time to share that passion. And I read a couple other books. I interviewed 30 leaders, all the way from CEOs of large healthcare systems to supervisors, and even the captain of the track team that I coached when he was a senior in high school. And so I felt like the other thing is that I really believe in the world we live in today. When I started a book, and that was right just before the pandemic, that employees want to be led, but they want to be led in a different way. And they want to be led. They want to be valued. They want their leaders to support their growth. They want their leaders to help them be successful. And quite frankly, I didn't think that was happening enough. And so I thought I would try this and share my leadership philosophy of that and go from there.
In the book, what will we learn? What will we find out?
Well, what we'll find out is that this style of leadership, number one, the goal is to help leaders today to remember why they got on the leadership. And it's a privilege to be a leader, and it's an honor to be a leader. So to remember that again, to renew that vow, to be the best leader, the best servant leader possible, and to refresh and to regain that passion and enthusiasm for doing the right thing, which I believe this is the right thing in terms of treating people. I just spoke at a conference in a Corazon conference. It's a consulting company in Nashville on Tuesday, and presented my book. And so many people came up to me afterwards and said that, oh, my gosh, this is so great. It helped me remember it. You know, it gave me more enthusiasm again to go back, and I'm going to take your book, and I'm going to go back and incorporate those values into my leadership style. It's very gratifying.
And like you say, 8 values. We're not going to tell everyone everything, but give us a couple of the values.
Okay. Well, the values were the number one of them was walk the talk. And walking the talk was rated by the people I interviewed as the most important value being a servant leader. So walk the talk means living and breathing love and compassion values in your daily leadership journey. If you're not walking the talk, there's absolutely no way that you're going to build that servant leader relationship with those you lead. So that was the most important one they rated. The second one was communication and practicing regular and consistent communication tactics that include genuine encouragement and honest feedback. I share in the book that the CEO is short for being chief executive officer. And in reality, a CEO should be the chief encouragement officer. I asked the question in the book, how many of you had too much encouragement in your life? And, you know, so everybody responds to encouragement. And so what you gain from this is, as a leader, is that you gain greater job engagement, more productivity, better organizational results, and better results both for the person you lead as well as yourself. So in the world of the great resignation that's going on and the fact that employee retention has risen to the top of every CEO in the country now, this is a tool and a tactic to ensure that.
Oh, yeah, boy, now more than ever, the quiet quitting, like you said, the great resignation. How do you keep good employees? How do you keep good talent? Yeah. How do you find good talent? And, boy, encouragement, I so agree. What a great question. And then to flip around what CEO is, what do you hope people walk away with when they read Driven by Compassion, Eight Values for Successful Servant Leaders?
Well, what I hope is that, as I said, you know, I hope that it makes them rethink how they are interacting with the people they lead, and that it will create, again, as I said earlier, greater productivity, certainly job retention, as we just said. You know, there is a shortage of workers, and so we have to do a better job as leaders of retaining our employees, especially the strong ones. Now, this style, by the way, being a compassionate servant leader doesn't mean hugs and kisses. And really what it does is it demands accountability, but it demands accountability in a different way, in a compassionate way. And the other thing about it is, Kate, is that it's very enjoyable. It's fun. I would rather have fun and enjoy my time as a leader, seeing the people I lead grow and see their happiness and see their satisfaction, than not. I can tell you, share a quick story with you. When I was doing rounds in one of the hospitals I led, I walked into the laundry. How many people go into the laundry, right? And I said, I came in and they said, Mr. Zechman, do you know how to fold our laundry? And I said, no. I said, can we show you? I said, sure. So I said, and I was terrible. They were laughing and I was terrible, but they do such an important function and we had so much fun. And I have to say this, me going in there and doing their work with them, do you think that made a difference in terms of the value they feel to the organization? Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, because you were there. Yeah.
I was there. It's one of my favorite CEO stories, and I relish that forever. And it was that made the rest of my day was I didn't care what happened the rest of the day. So I was very happy after that, and it was very gratifying. But I hope that again, it's time to change leadership. It's time to help people be successful. And if you help people be successful, the people that you lead, then you're going to be successful. And it just makes sense.
Yeah, and now more than ever, boy, especially coming out of what we've just come out of, I think this is vital, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of tension and worry from the pandemic. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, hyperbole here, but the pandemic, as we all know, has probably changed things forever in many ways. And I think that in a good way, the pandemic will make leaders look at how they treat people differently, how they need to treat them appreciably and positively and maybe more than we did in the past. Maybe we took our leadership for granted in the past. And leadership is a gift and a privilege, and we should never forget that.
Yeah, so well said. And again, I love the title, Driven by Compassion, Eight Values for Successful Servant Leaders. You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you, David, so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Kate, for allowing me to share my passion with your audience. And I'm honored that you asked me.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Millions of Americans are on their way home or visiting family for Thanksgiving, but millions are already there. The TSA says 4.5 million passengers went through security checkpoints at the nation's airports on Monday and Tuesday. Nearly 2.3 million did so on Tuesday. Both numbers topped the same days last year. Tuesday night, an overnight manager at a Chesapeake, Virginia Walmart opened fire on employees at his store. Chief Medical Officer of Centara Norfolk General Hospital, Michael Hooper, shares the status of the injured victims at their hospital.
Two individuals who passed away, unfortunately. We have two in our intensive care unit in critical condition, and then one patient who's in good condition.
Wall Street closed up 96 points on Wednesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
A lot of books, but he's written a book that we're going to talk about called All Men Are Created Equal. Eric, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You and I had an off-air conversation where we talked about all kinds of things. We talked about, you know, fate, and we talked about this novel and what led to writing this novel. Tell the listeners why you wrote it.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of innovation, but also it's kind of a smack at the old patriots. I mean, not all the old patriots, of course, but the phrase of "All men are created equal," which was, of course, written by Mr. Jefferson and put in the Declaration of Independence, a very important document for America, the new America. And in that document, he said that all men are created equal, that phrase, which meant so much to so many people. And, it's everybody knows that at that time, Mr. Jefferson and a lot of the patriots of the American Revolution actually owned slaves, and Mr. Jefferson had quite a few slaves, and it was rumored that one of his slaves was a young girl who helped him raise his daughter because he became a widower when his wife died, and he was left with a a newborn child. So the slave was the one that raised his daughter, and it was rumored that he was having an affair with this girl, this slave girl, and that eventually she had children from him. And I think that, as I recall, in the 80s when they did some DNA work and, on the remains and whatnot, and supposedly, the conclusion was that it cannot be denied or it cannot be admitted, that some of this, the descendants of who I named Thelma Hammonds in my novel are descendants of Mr. Jefferson. So many people, I think, are hard believers that he fathered three or four children from her. So that's basically where I got my idea.
Yeah, and it's satirical. It's, it's a satire of the Declaration of Independence. And I had to think that it would be challenging in doing this. What was the toughest part about writing this book?
Probably the research, that one has to do to make the story seem more real. As you know, that Mr. Jefferson became the first Secretary of State for the United States, and he traveled to France, and then he stayed in France for some time, and that's when Thelma had to accompany him, and she was taking care of his daughter, and she was a young girl at the time. And as you probably know, France at that time was anti-slavery. So Thelma was stepping in soil that was free. She could have stayed in France. So in a nutshell, what happens is that, the time came when they had to return to America because Mr. Jefferson was, critical to the new government, and he had all the things that he had been summoned for. So he was coming back, and he said, well, let's go back. And she said, Thelma said, no, I'm not going back. I am free now. I can stay here. And so he tried to negotiate with her, and, he offered her that, if you come back, the children that you have that are born in the United States will be born free. But you will always be a slave. That's true. And, so she, and this is why I, in the story, I think that it's not only about slavery, but it's about choices. What choices do I have? And she chose to come back and be with him, still be a slave, but rather than being free, she chose that path. And I think that was the climax of the story.
And so, there's so much of this. I love the research you did and the fact that you wrap in so much history. So we know that was challenging, but it had to also be pretty fun to do this, especially for someone who's written around 18 books. Was this a fun one to do?
Yeah, definitely. It's very, very happy. Well, not happy, but I would say it's a story that flows, because it was not, how shall I say, it wasn't that difficult to do. It flows, and, the one fact led to another. And I guess, having done the research, I was prepared for it. The characters just worked themselves out through the novel.
Was it fun to do the satirical journey that you did? Because that makes this book, I think this makes, rather, this book very unique.
Sure. She was, I made her as a very smart woman. You know, she was, and at that time, you know, it wasn't even, it was even prohibited for slaves to learn how to read and write. And she learned herself. She was exposed to Mr. Jefferson's library, who, you know, he was a very studious man. He ended up collecting so many books that he donated a lot of them to the Library of Congress. And I think they have survived the journey. They still are in the Library of Congress today. So she benefited from, you know, living in his house, having access to all these things. And she used her time properly. And even when she went to, when they journeyed to France, she learned how to speak the language faster than Mr. Jefferson. Mr. Jefferson needed an interpreter, but she didn't. So it was fun. I enjoyed it.
And in writing the book, you know, in talking about your motivation to do it, because you've written so many books, Eric, you're an attorney, busy, busy person, but you wanted to really take that sentence, all men are created equal, and show us that's not necessarily true when it comes to women and men of color, right?
It's a double take here. She was a woman and she was a black woman. So, you know what I mean? It's satirical in two ways.
Certainly was satirical in two ways. So what do you hope people take away from reading the book All Men Are Created Equal? And again, we're speaking with Eric Cabrera. You can get this book Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope the big takeaways are?
Well, first I would say that I of course have a lot of respect for you know, the early development of the United States. You know, it's a country that I love. It's my country. But that there are secrets that go back even at that time when we were supposed to be fighting a monarchy. And some of our people were fighting for independence, but we had slaves, you know, they had slaves here. I mean, George Washington had slaves. It doesn't void the things that these people accomplished. They were probably geniuses, but all put together. And we, as a country, I think, got extremely lucky that we had all these characters living at the same time, because otherwise it wouldn't have happened. And the democracy survives today. But I do think that black people got a short end of the stick in this. You know, they were still slaves. They were slaves after the revolution. And what was the motivation for them to fight for the cause when the English offered them freedom? And some of them, you know, chose that path, regretfully. I'm sure that later on they regretted it. But it wasn't a perfect scenery behind everything that happened, you know. This is that phrase. It was intended for the white establishment, shall I say?
Right, not the others, and which clearly you talk about in the book, and that goes to the satire for sure. Well, it's very, very well done. All Men Are Created Equal. Eric Cabrera, thank you so much for coming on.
Sure, thank you.
The
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Well, I can't wait to introduce you to Mr. Pineapple, and what an incredible theory he has, what a game changer it is. And this book, honestly, I hope so many of you get it, and I hope so many people in the world read it as well, because he has really struck a chord with me, honestly, as all of you know what I do. Steve Matteau joins us, and again, he's Mr. Pineapple. The book is The Pineapple Theory, and that's what really his message is all about. Steve, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for the invite, Kate.
Tell me the road to The Pineapple Theory. How'd you come up with this, and what is it?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because I even myself for the last 2 years trying to think about how did I ever came up with this. And the only thing that I can share is it's quite simple. For years, I just felt crushed like a lemon by the culture washing of, let's say, several corporate companies, crushed by several emotional fishermen, I like to call them, or by how the majority of society choose to act and speak from their thoughts without owning them, because the majority will seek around instead of within. The more extremes, we could even state that there are likely slaves of their negative emotions, and everything becomes an emotional illusions with life and time, resulting of many losing themselves, forgetting themselves from their methodology of their own choosing, resulting of many forgetting that they are in life possibly the solution. So what happens is, when I saw this through the emotional illusions of life and time like an eagle, I decided to sell my lemons, and I bought the pineapple. And from there, the pineapple theory took birth.
And tell us the pineapple theory.
Theoretically, what if adding a pineapple in people's life could assist humans to live on Earth more happily together? That simple.
Right. So it's a symbol. It's a symbol to remind us of that. And you talk about, I love this. This is like the greatest hashtag. You should hashtag this everywhere besides obviously the pineapple. But be positively curious, you say.
Correct. This is one of the key fundamental concepts of the pineapple theory. You can be curious in three different ways. You can be curious with biases, meaning with negative emotions. You can be curious, meaning with neutral emotion. That will usually make someone uncomfortable. Or you can be positively curious, meaning curious with positive emotions. That changes completely how you're approaching your curiosity, and the energy that comes out of you is positive, and that usually greatly assists whoever you're speaking with to lower their shield and have an open discussion because your curiosity is well intended.
Wow, so that's wonderful. I love that. Three different ways to do that, and the biases, we want to throw those out, and that's so much what you're about, right?
That is correct. And that's why I like to call the emotional illusions of life and time. We are surrounded by biases, and how can we remain unbiased? This is a huge challenge for everyone, even myself. And this is one of the another concept that I like to share is we are all, as humans, energy, and our emotions are like batteries. So I like to call them the emotional batteries. And as soon as our emotional batteries, they are starting to become at a lower level, that's when we have a hard time to have the positive energy to break those biases and remain positively curious with what is surrounding us. And we can easily be conditioned with the illusions of mm-hmm. what is life and time. So it's deep, but at the end, a pineapple needs to be nourished, cultivated all the time to keep it sweet and fresh. And it's the same thing with our own energy. How do you recharge? How do you cultivate yourself to keep yourself sweet with a well-recharged pineapple shell to block the negative in and out.
I love that. So we, of course, want people to get the book, The Pineapple Theory. You can easily see even more on Steve if you go to thepineappletheory.ca. To recharge, what do you suggest? This is a great thing that people could apply right now while they're waiting for your book. How do they recharge?
That's a very good question, and I'm currently writing a text about it. How I like to see this is the pineapple theory views three fraction with the timeline to recharge: daily, quarterly, and annually. And just to provide an example, daily, I like to call it the daily feel good, and the daily or a daily quick emotional booster. And what this does is that one thing that you would do or you wish that you would do for yourself daily for a positive boost of your emotional batteries. Is it an outdoor walk? Is it weightlifting? Is it reading, painting, yoga? Just name it. The purpose is to be by yourself, likely in silence, with your thoughts to resonate them to a positive level. So the daily feel-good will serve as a cleansing process. Because in the emotional illusion of life and time, many will lose and forget themselves, like I often share. But with the daily feel-good, that is that one thing that is good for the emotional batteries. A coaching tip that I like to provide is as follows. Plan your daily feel-good before everything else. If it requires to wake up earlier, do it. For example, I'm going to provide a personal example of myself. Weightlifting is my daily feel good. Does it require me to wake up, let's say, at 3 a.m. the morning, hit the gym at 5 and do it, and then I'm able to go through my day? Yes, it does. Is it a extra effort? It does. But being consistent is determination, and I'm determined to keep my emotional batteries high, to remain positive inside out throughout my day with everyone surrounding me.
And since you do that and you develop these concepts, what has happened to your life?
I've grown with my own theory. that's what it does. And something that I like sharing is always be the student. in life. It's that simple. And even when you're a master at something, because, you know, as much as I'm the author of the Pineapple Theory itself, we could perceive that, hey, he's the master of Pineapple. But even when you're a master at something, masters always keeps learning and practicing. So daily, by consistently writing something new and fresh for the followers, using the essence of everything that is inside the books, allow me to grow within. And this is what I like to call the growth continuum. You just never stop growing. And it's kind of your own inner child. A child always learns.
Yes,
keep that child growing all the time.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. And you're, you know, practicing what you preach, so to speak. And speaking of that, an exciting thing's happening for you. And I think, again, this is more momentum for the Pineapple Theory. Tell the listeners about your trip that you're taking to Germany.
Right. Well, today I'm taking off for Frankfurt, Germany. It will be my third travel of the year, part of a very ambitious project of traveling the world with my pineapple. Yes, I walk towns in their landmarks with a pineapple fruit. I'm not kidding. I'm really doing that. But I will be attending Frankfurt Book Fair this year. That will be held from October 19 to the 23rd, open for the general public starting the 21st of October. I'm going to have for the very first time my own booth located at the sixth floor. Believe me, if you do attend, you cannot miss that booth. It's going to be pineapple-ish all over the place. I mean, I'll make sure that I bring pineapple scents so you can follow the author. But no, seriously, it's going to be quite an amazing experience. I have attended earlier this year in April, London's book fair. I was there for only one day. It was in a co-share booth. But that was a great energy, great experience to meet bookworms out there, or just those who are just curious to discover what is out there, in case that they find something that may actually connect with them. Out of thousands of books, what if the pineapple is something that, hey, I love pineapple fruits. Well, what if you could really love the Pineapple Theory? So that's it's going to be quite an amazing experience, and I have 3 days for myself with 1 day with my local photographer based out of Berlin and Frankfurt for a picture day in town where we're going to walk the entire day, several landmarks, kind of with people, take hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and I'll be exploring the area that will feed several other inspirations for the blog and social media.
Well, we can't wait to see you pop up all over the world, and it's very exciting what's happening here. Again, the website, thepineappletheory.ca. You can get this book there. You can get this book on Amazon. Steve, thank you so much. Mr. Pineapple, I love it.
Well, can't miss it. And what the readers are sharing is it's all about people with Mr. Pineapple.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney.
I did it. I admit it.
I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.